Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
I want to talk today about an even playing field. I want you to grab hold of that, an even playing field. A lot of time when we use the word or the term playing field, we think about this thing of fairness. Sometimes people feel like the playing field is not even. They feel that it's not fair. Well, God began to stir this in my spirit during prayer that there is two different playing fields in our world today. And the first one is what I call a world system. The world system we live in is a playing field. And this playing field is where justice and equality is determined by status, standing, and opportunities for success. That's the playing field of this world system. The other playing field that I want every Christian to know that you and I should be on is what I call a covenant system. And this is where faithfulness is the key that inspires the willingness, the winsomeness, and witness in serving God's agenda in earth. Now, today you're going to have to either identify which field you are on, and I want you to be real with that. But if you're a believer today, I want to let you know it's the will of God that you get off the world system and you get on the covenant system. Because in the covenant system, the key to this playing field, say faithfulness, is faithfulness. That means you can abort any excuse in your life that has to do with why things may not be working out, why you are not blessed, because you recognize that the key to my blessing is faithfulness. When I say that this key inspires the willingness, I'm talking about the will on the inside of you and I. You got born again, but you still have a will. You know Jesus, but you still have a will. You know what the words say, but you still have a will. And so Isaiah 1 and 19 say, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. The good of the land comes when I direct my will in agreement with God's word. And so there is this element of a willingness and winsomeness has to do with my influence. See, whenever you are on a covenant system, you are impacting other people's lives. You are having influence. That's why Hebrews 10, verse 24 tells us that we need to encourage one another. We need to excite one another. We need to influence one another to love good works. That's the kind of influence you want to have on this field. You want to be a type person that others can look at your life and it stirs them up to get involved in the things of God. And then we have this thing where we talk about witness in serving God's agenda in the earth. See, 1 Corinthians 15:58 tells us, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not what? In vain in the Lord. So my witness is that people should be able to look at my life and see that I understand how the kingdom works. And in the kingdom of God, when I am steadfast, I am sticking to God's way of doing things. I am steadfast in my faithfulness in his house. You honor that because you know this, that your work in the Lord is not in vain. God will reward your labor. Don't never let the enemy get you into a spirit of murmuring and complaining by something you are doing for God. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul lists five things there that cause Israel to miss out on the blessings of God. And one of them was murmuring and complaining. And he put murmuring and complaining in the same bowl with sexual immorality, with idolatry, with lusting after evil things. He put it in the same cup with all of those things because what? Murmuring and complaining will block your blessing. If you do something for someone and you murmur and complain, you block the blessing. I'm talking about the covenant system. Say the covenant system. Now, I want to let you know, in the world system, the playing fields will never be fair. Not in the world system. You will always be judged by your status, your standing, and your success in the world system will be determined by man. That's why I told you God don't want you on that system. When Jesus Christ entered your life, he put you and I on another playing field. Well, here's the word. It's the faithfulness of the creator that rewards the creatures. God will reward you. And get this, can't no man stop it. When you are faithful, that's key. I tell people, sometimes they think, oh, I got to get this and I got to do this for God. Just be faithful. Jesus said it like this. If you're faithful in a little, God can reward you with more. In Revelation chapter 2, this church, the city of Smyrna, they were on the playing field of God, but how many know the world playing field tried to come against their life? And so God spoke to them. He said, I know your works. I know what you're doing. I know you're faithful. I know you're serving me. But he said, I also know this, that you are going through trials and sufferings and tribulations. And he said, I know your poverty. I know because you're standing for me and you're doing my work. You're on my playing field. The playing field of the world is working against you. They don't support you. They're making life difficult for you. So in essence, you are poor. He used the word poverty. But notice what God say, but you are rich. In other words, when God looked at them, even though they were going through tribulations, even though they were experiencing poverty for their stand for God in the culture, in the world system, God declared, but see, I see what they don't see, and you are rich. That means you are abundantly supplied with the strength you need, with the grace you need, with the favor you need to get through the process. Hallelujah. God is not saying you are rich with money, but he's what? You are rich in faith. You are rich in my grace. You are rich in my favor. So what? If you got grace and favor on your life, you're going to get through everything in life. And he said, I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but of the synagogues. That God said, I know who's real in my church. I know who the hypocrites are. I know who the liars are. And then he tells them, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested and you will have tribulation 10 days. But get this, be faithful unto death and I will give you a crown of life. Hallelujah. They were not to go around and talk about, you know, the devil is busy. Oh, yes, the devil is at work, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm going to talk about what? That if I stay faithful, God's going to reward my faithfulness. Sometimes when people are going through trials, you know what they want to do? They want to be unfaithful. When they're going through stuff in their life, they want to do what? They want to be unfaithful to God. That is the time to make sure that you are being faithful because God will reward your faithfulness. You see, God is not a respecter person. He don't pick one race over another race. That's the world system. You're going to always have racism in the world system. It's going to be here until Jesus come again. There are going to be people groups who think they are better than other people groups simply because of who they are. Simply because of, get this, their status in life, their standing in the world. Get this now, the color of their skin. You're going to always have that in this world system. Why? Because it is a fallen world with imperfect people. And so you never get a fair playing field in the world system. But Christians are on a different playing field. God had to begin his covenant plan with some race in the earth. There are races going around now, you know, the black Hebrews, the black Jews, everybody want to say, well, you know, we're God's favorite. Get this, we're all God's favorite because we come from God. God loves humanity. Remember, Satan did create humanity. God created humanity. God created mankind. Satan did not create. God don't hate mankind. God hates sin, but he don't hate what he created. And all of that, he created them in his image and in his likeness. Why did he do all that and say, I hate you now? He hates sin, but he loves humanity. But God, because he's sovereign, he get to pick whatever race he wants to start with. So what did he decide? He started with what? He started with the Hebrews. He started with the Jewish people. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 8, listen to this. He said, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The first thing he said to the people that he started with was this. You are a sanctified people. You are people that set apart in the earth for me. That's what it means to be sanctified, is that you are holy to the Lord. You're set apart to the Lord. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the people on face of the earth to be his people. His what? His treasured possession. He's talking to the Jewish people. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other people, for you were the fewest of all the people on the earth. In other words, God let them know, I did not start my covenant plan with you because of any merit on your part, because of anything that you did or qualified for. He said, for you were the fewest people, but it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors. What God said, I started my plan with you simply because I love you and I'm honoring the oath of the covenant that I made with your ancestors, Abraham. So he started with the Jewish people. We don't have to fight this thing to try to make black people the Jewish people. I just know what? I'm in the plan now. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter who got in first. If I'm in the house, I'm in the house. If I'm riding the car, it doesn't matter if I'm in the back seat or front seat. I'm in the car. Growing up, what? You fought for the front seat. Now you just what? I'm in the car. What? I'm going to get where I need to go because I'm in the car. Hallelujah. Anybody remember them days where you would fight for the front seat? Anybody remember them days where you sat on top of each other? Because the car didn't hold but five, but you had eight in there? Somebody know what I'm talking about. I'll leave that. I'll leave that. So God started with what? He started with the Jewish people because he loved them, because what? He loves mankind. And because he made a promise to the ancestors, and God is faithful to his promise. Let's look on. Now, the next scripture I have here, it says this in Acts 10, 34 and 35. Peter, who was a Jew, had to deal with this thing because Peter was following the Old Testament, and he knew that the Jews were God's chosen people, and everybody else was considered what? Heathens or pagans, because they worship other gods. So God gives Peter a supernatural dream and everything. And then Peter comes to this Gentile who's a non-Jew. And then he bows down to Peter. Peter stands him up and say, no, basically I'm paraphrasing. Peter said, you don't worship a man. And then Peter said this, God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Now the door is open for every people group on the face of the earth. Jesus came, he opened the door up that it's not just the Jewish people, but it's every people group who's willing to work righteousness, who's willing to put faith in Christ. How many know we are now God's covenant people? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Get this. Some people, sometimes they get saved late in their life. They say, well, I got saved when I was old. It doesn't matter as long as you get saved before you leave here. If you're 85 years old and you're not saved, and all of a sudden you get saved at 86 and die at 87, praise the Lord, you get in the same heaven I get in. The Bible said in Hebrews 8:6, this is where the change came. But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, for he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promise. I thank God for Jesus. Jesus mediated a better covenant with better promise. You know what that word mediated means? He stood in my stead. He represented me, glory to God. Get this, I didn't qualify to get in part of this covenant. I could not become part of this covenant on my own righteousness. But because of the righteousness of Jesus, because Jesus said, literally, I will stand in his stead. That judgment that should come to him, let it come upon me. My blood can handle it. Why? Because he qualifies now to enter the covenant family through Jesus Christ. Oh, I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for what Jesus did at Calvary. I thank God that Jesus came and died for my sins. Glory to God. I'm totally forgiven. See, when you know that you are totally forgiven, you'll stop worrying about what people think about you. You'll stop worrying about who like you and don't like you. You don't live your life allowing people to determine your joy. This is my joy, that I've been accepted in the beloved, that Jesus Christ did not reject me, but he received me unto his own. I want us to grab that. Jesus brought you into a covenant family. Jesus, when you came in Christ, you didn't just, well, I'm saved. He became your father. You're his child. He's going to take care of everything concerning you. But he wants you to get on the right plan. Once we become born again, every aspect of our life came under the power and the authority of heaven. Therefore, we do not view life on earth as one that is outside of the covenant family, but as sons and daughters of the family of God. Listen, it's the family of God that we belong to. It's the family of God that every race who acknowledge Jesus and believe on him, we become one family in Christ. If I trust in the world system, this is what has to happen. I have to learn to operate my finances based on that system. If I'm on the world's playing field, I got to manage my money. I got to operate my finances on that world system, and it's not fair. It is an uneven playing field. You will not win on that field because there will always be somebody with greed and covetousness, jealousy, to come and stop you. But on God's playing field, greed can't enter. Covetousness can't enter. Jealousy won't enter God's playing field because God is not a respecter of persons. And if you're faithful, he's going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Proverbs 28 and 20, listen to this. A faithful man, or we can say a faithful man or woman, will have how many blessings? Many blessings. But one that's eager to get rich will not go unpunished. You see the difference between many blessings and greed? See, greed is what? Well, all you want to do is get rich. All you want to do is get money. There's all kind of temptations that are going to come when you've got that kind of greed in your heart. You're going to go for some things that you know that are not right. In the name of what can I get out of it? How many know some of us grew up in that kind of terrain, right? But we've learned better now, amen. Get this, we can't go for every deal that ain't really the real deal. Remember I said when you're faithful, God gives you the keys to the kingdom. Jesus gave us the key. Let me say that. Jesus gave us the keys. Now the keys come from God, so what? It has the authority of heaven. But he gave them to us. I want somebody to grab that now because, see, some of us, we want Jesus to do. Oh, he's going to do it. But he's going to do it with people that know how to use the keys. Because in Matthew 16, when Jesus first came to the disciples, he asked them the question on verse 32, who do men say that I am? See, the world don't know who Jesus is, so they got to guess, right? John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets. So he said, who do the world say I am? So they got many things they're saying who he is. Then Jesus narrowed it down to Peter, but who do you say that I am? Yeah. Now it's personal. Look at the name and say personal now. Yeah. See, in order for people to know who Jesus is, they got to know Jesus. They got to have revelation. And so Peter stood up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to him, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed that unto you, but what? But by Father which is in heaven. In other words, Jesus is telling the disciples, you guys have tapped into something the world don't have called revelation knowledge. Knowledge that is revealed by the Holy Ghost. The Word of God is revelation knowledge. Why? It got revealed by the Holy Ghost. Man can't sit down and say, we're going to write the Bible. The Holy Ghost penned the Bible. Spirit of God directed men's hand to write the Word of God. So the Bible is a book of revelation knowledge. Now, once you get revelation knowledge, now you got to know how to use the key. You can have revelation knowledge and still don't know how to use the key. Because Jesus came on down and told Peter up on this rock, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall what? Shall not prevail against it. And then he told him, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, what? I'll loose it in heaven. Glory to God. You mean to tell me I can do stuff on earth and cause heaven to respond? Listen, I can do stuff on earth that heaven already declared. It's already authorized in heaven. I'm just bringing heaven authority in the earth realm. And when I start exercising my authority, heaven is only doing what it's designed to do. Release the power in the earth. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done. How many know the kingdom is here? The word is here. And the will of God is here. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. So the binding and loosing has to do with my faith in prayer. You bind that rascal. You tell him in the name of Jesus, I bind you, Satan. You know what that means? I tie you up right here. I paralyze your power. I diffuse you of any influence. I burn you, devil. He said, if you burn it in the earth, angels are hawking in heaven. And they'll come against every demonic spirit in the unseen realm that's trying to war against you. How many know? Thank God we got warfare in angels. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Daniel was praying and seeking the Lord. And God told him that the moment you set your heart to pray, I release angelic power from heaven. But the prince of Persia, that's a demonic spirit, warred against the angel. But I sent Gabriel to assist him. And thank God, Daniel got the answer because heaven responded to his prayer. But I love this part of it. He tells him this. I will give you the keys. Glory to God. Not just one key, because there are some doors and things you need to open up that has something totally different to do with some other things. When I need a breakthrough in my finances, I need a key for that. When I need a miracle in my body, I need a key for that. When I'm praying for my children, I need a key for that. Oh, somebody grab hold of this. Hallelujah. When I want to see God move through my family, I need a key for that. When I want to see God do something mighty in my church, I need a key for that. When there's issues going on my job, I got to find the key for that. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven and you loose. Thank God for the keys. Look to your neighbors. I have the keys. Hallelujah. So we're on this playing field. It's an even playing field. Nobody can say God is not fair. God is fair. He's faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. He's not a respecter of person. He don't love some Christians and then don't love other Christians. He don't bless some Christians and then don't bless other Christians. But he rewards faithfulness. You can have children in your house. You can have one child got up and did all the work. And all of a sudden you say, you know what? You did all that work there. Let me reward you. And the other children come. Well, where is ours? You didn't do nothing. I want you to grab this. You sat around and didn't do nothing. You stayed in the room playing. This child been laboring all day, and I'm going to what? I'm going to reward. Now, you still my child, you in the house, but the reward go to the faithful. So don't get jealous of other believers. Don't get jealous when you see God doing certain things in their life. You don't know what their faithfulness scale look like. Well, thank God that I believe every one of us have an opportunity to either make sure that we are on the right playing field, and if we're on the right playing field, knowing how to operate on it. And if you're not on the right playing field, before the day over with, guess what? You can get on the right playing field. I'm going to tell you right now, get off the world playing field. It is not a fair system. And I don't care how you protest and march, you're not going to change that system. There's a spirit behind that system. There's a spirit behind racism. There's a spirit behind injustice. Yes, we need to stand up and we need to unite together on issues that we know need to be addressed. But we got to realize there's got to be somebody dealing with the unseen forces behind the scene. That's where the church come in. That's where the body of Christ come in. Go ahead and march. But we need to have somebody at the altar interceding while they're marching. So what? We need some people challenging those who are in political office. Yes. We need somebody up there giving a voice to that. Yes. But we also need somebody who understands we are dealing with a spirit. If we're going to be able to operate on this playing field, I want to give you three quick things and action steps we need to take. The first thing we need to do is we need to realize your starting line is not your financial position, but your faith position. A lot of time people, when it comes to getting on God's playing field, they got excuses about, well, you know, I can't afford to do that. Well, I got my money, this and all that. No, you got to remember, the starting line on God's playing field is not your financial position, but your faith position. In other words, you can be broke monetarily and still start out on the starting line in God's kingdom. A.W. Tozer said it like this, while it looks like things are out of control, behind the scene there is a God who has not surrendered authority. In other words, God is still working things out. That's why in 2 Corinthians 4, Paul talks about we look not at the things that are seen, I think 4:17, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but what the things that are not seen is eternal. How many know there is an unseen realm that God has not surrendered authority over your life? So don't you give up. Look to your neighbor, tell him don't give up. Zechariah 4:10, Zerubbabel was going to finish the work that he had started. The Bible says God said to him, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. So don't ever think that you've got to wait till you get an abundance to start being faithful. That you got to wait, okay, God, I'm believing you for this to come in, and when this come in, I'll do this. No, right where you are. Look to your neighbor and say, right where you are. Right where you are, you're at the starting line, and you can say, at this starting line, at the beginning of this year, I'm going to be faithful. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but what you're going to be willing. You're going to be winsome. You're going to be a witness that God's agenda is important in the earth. That's what it means to be faithful. That I'm willing, Lord, I am willing to obey. God, I am winsome. I want to encourage others. And God, I want to be a witness to let others know that God's agenda is important in the earth. The second act of action is this. Your decision to reboot begins with plugging into God's power source of financial perfecting. And a lot of time we hear the word perfecting, we only think about that in the sense of I am imperfect and becoming perfected. That means I'm growing in my faith, and that is true. However, this applies also in areas of our life where we're trusting God in money matters. And we're following a biblical prescription for what I call discovery and recovery. Discovery is when I learn that God's way works. See, there are a lot of people, they haven't learned that yet. They're still on the world system because they haven't learned that God's way works. When you begin to try God's way, you're going to see it works. So when you step out in faith with the money matters, trusting God, how many know he brings a confirmation and it encourages faith. And then I have what I call recovery. Recovery is when I learn my way doesn't work and seek God for help. I want to encourage us today. Malachi 3:10 says it real easy. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it, and it's called overflow. Now listen, I will pour out what? So much blessing. That's what comes with tithing, blessings. That's why you can't explain it. It comes in all kinds of ways. It just qualifies as what? A blessing. A sound mind is a blessing. Peace is a blessing. Favor is a blessing. When God opened those floodgates up in your life, blessings start coming. And what? And you discover it works. Or you recover and say, Lord, let me get back to doing it your way. Goes on to say in verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. So not only does God open up the windows of heaven or the floodgates of heaven and pour me out so many blessings, but he said, I'll take care of the enemy when he comes to attack your finances. The last thing I have is your decision to stay the course of God's financial protocol with a lifetime faithfulness. These are things you either have to act on or you have to go back and say, let me get back at the starting line. So wherever you are today, don't let fear, don't let the enemy call you a failure. You're not a failure. You have victory on the inside of you. Get to the starting line. Let your faith position you and be ready to plug into God's power source and declare that I'm just going to be faithful. And get this, if I got a little, I can be faithful with a little. If he gives you an abundance, he understands you're going to give abundance. Why? Because he gave you abundance. But whatever he gives to you, you can honor him with it.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church. We're located at 3100 Trotter Road in Southeast Columbia, where Norman E. Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. worship and 7 p.m. Wednesdays for an engaging, insightful, and anointed Bible teaching. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at wordalivesc.com. Tune in next time for Word Alive Broadcast Ministries. Thank you.